I don't know if you saw this, but China recently offered money and construction workers, particularly from its Jewish community in Foshan, to help rebuild Israeli sites that were damaged by Iran's missile strikes. This move marks Beijing's first direct involvement in Israel's post-conflict recovery. But at the same time, China has publicly condemned Israeli strikes on Iran. It's urged de-escalation, and Israel itself has asked China to pressure Iran on its nuclear and missile ambitions. Yet Beijing remains cautious, facilitating between economic partnering, diplomatic balancing, and a reluctance to deepen military involvement. To unpack this, I'm joined on the line by Gedalia Afteman, who is the head of the Asia Policy Program at the Eber Ibn Institute for Diplomacy and Foreign Relations at Reichman University in Israel. Gedalia, thank you so much for joining us on the Home Run. China's offer to rebuild Israeli communities, what do you make of it? Is it a genuine humanitarian gesture, or is it soft power in play?
Thank you for having me. So just to clarify, this offer that you described wasn't really from China, the Chinese government. It was from the Chabad rabbi in Fushan. Uh-huh. So Fushan is a city that has a lot of construction companies. And he was basically offering to use his network with Chinese companies to help the Israeli reconstruction effort.
And is it that happening? Is it happening? Have we seen any of that materialize?
Not really. I don't think it's happening yet. But that said, China is a substantial player when it comes to Israeli construction, to Israeli infrastructure in general. So if you try to think about who will play a role in the reconstruction in Israel and damaged areas, then China is definitely a relevant player in that sense.
Israel has called on China to lean on Iran regarding its nuclear and missile programs. Does Beijing have the clout and will to do so?
Well, that's a good question. Obviously, Iran is completely dependent on China economically. China buys more than 90% of Iranian oil at the moment. But there's always a question about how effective China can be in converting that economic clout to political clout, how effective it can be in convincing Iran to do anything, let alone not attack Israel. And I'm not sure that it has a lot of real influence in that sense. And we also need to keep in mind that this is not only about Iran and Israel, it's mainly from a Chinese perspective about the United States and how does it position China with the U.S.
Beijing also condemned Israeli strikes, but it stopped short of direct support for Iran. How do they thread this needle without alienating either side?
Right. So generally speaking, China has been playing this fairly delicate balancing act in the region, and specifically with this war, with the Israel-Iran war, unlike, for example, the Israel-Gaza war, China has been quite careful to come across as even-handed. In that sense, and that's because there's no benefit for China in taking the Iranian side because of other interests in the region with the Saudis, with the Emiratis, of course, with Israel, and again with the United States. So on the one hand, it is criticizing Israel, it is criticizing the United States, but it's trying to make it, but it's trying to leave enough leeway for it to not be seen as taking the Iranian side completely.
Given China's dependence on Gulf oil and its 25-year strategic pact with Iran, where does Israel fit into China's broader Middle East puzzle?
That's another good question. So if we would have this discussion 10 years ago or 12 years ago, I would tell you that the two most important elements or countries in the Chinese thinking about the Middle East are Iran and Israel. And the Arab Gulf countries are very important because of energy, but strategically maybe less. Now I think that kind of equation has changed somewhat. I think Saudi Arabia and the UAE are the most important from a Chinese perspective. Iran is traditionally important, and Israel has kind of dropped in the Chinese calculus in terms of importance. Nevertheless, I think we need to understand that we hear a lot of talk, and you mentioned the 25-year strategic agreement between Iran and China. I'm not so sure about that. I think that China made a strategic agreement or a strategic decision, rather, to bet on the Saudi Emiratis in terms of their long-term strategic future. So Iran is important, but not more important than the Saudis and the Emiratis, and that also has an impact on the way China behaves. Now, following the 7th of October, China was very, very critical of Israel and the United States, and still is over Gaza. But since Israel has emerged stronger militarily, especially since the fall of the Assad regime in Syria, we've seen China try to, I would say, unfreeze maybe or defrost the relationship with Israel. So in recent months, in the last year or so, we're seeing China trying to revive their diplomatic relationship with Israel. And because Israel comes across as stronger militarily, then it is definitely a factor in Chinese calculations in the Middle East. Nevertheless, we need to, as always, remember that the United States plays a key role again. So if China feels that Israel is completely on the American side, then there's less leeway for China to do things with Israel.
And how important is China to Israel?
China is quite important to Israel. Just on the trade level, trade in 2022 was close to $23 billion US. So that makes China the second largest trading partner for Israel. But China is important to Israel not only on the bilateral front, but also on the regional front. Because even if Israel and China meet less in Tel Aviv, they'll meet much more in Abu Dhabi, in Doha, and Riyadh in coming years. And if we think that the Middle East, especially the Gulf, are Israel's strategic future, Israelis need to expect that they'll be meeting China more and more in the region.
Gedalia, so much of what you said underpins the relationship between China and the U.S. I mean, a lot of what China is doing depends on how it perceives the U.S. to interpret that. So, in your opinion, how would you describe the Chinese-U.S. relationship at the moment?
So, I agree with you completely. I think that, especially in the Middle East, but not only, Chinese foreign policy is driven very much by their perception of the U.S. and how it positions, how China positions itself vis-a-vis the United States. At the moment, under Donald Trump, we've seen growing tensions between China and the U.S., this kind of zero-sum game, this trade war. But in recent weeks, we've seen actually more positive movement towards a trade agreement. And the Middle East is actually an area where, theoretically at least, Chinese and American interests could align, or at least generally align. But at the moment, we're still in this kind of zero-sum game between the superpowers, and that's impacting the dynamic in the Middle East as well.
And if I can come full circle to the question I asked you at the beginning, where you said it was actually an offer by the Chabad rabbi in Foshan. Do you think Beijing's reconstruction effort, and again, let's assume there will be some, could that be the foundation for more active Chinese involvement in Israeli infrastructure or political influence, or not at all?
Not really. I mean, the current Chinese ambassador, as I said, is on this charm offensive to try and warm up the relationship following the frosting of the October 7th attack. China is already involved in most of the major infrastructure projects in Israel. So this won't be a big step forward, so to speak. What could be interesting is whether or not China would get involved, for example, in the reconstruction in Gaza when that becomes relevant.
And do you think they could?
Yeah, of course they could. The question is, would they want to? There's a lot of risk involved. And would Israel and the U.S. want them to?
Well, that's something
But theoretically, when we think about what players can actually do that kind of, undertake that kind of task, I think China would be a leading candidate.
Yeah. Well, that's something interesting to watch out for. Gedalia Afterman, thank you so much for weighing in today. That is Gedalia Afterman, who is head of the Asia Policy Program at the Abba Eban Institute for Diplomacy and Foreign Relations at Reichman University.